comments on Ezra chapter 3 verses 10 to 12. Some praised and others mourned. This praise and thanksgiving, we have no need to say, was entirely appropriate. The house upon which their eyes rested was of sufficient consequence for the Lord to send His word again and again to encourage the builders. The Lord gives His servants words to speak, and this gratitude all should have expressed when they saw that the foundation of the house was laid. But there came another difficulty. Lamentation and weeping and mourning was heard because the temple was not outwardly so glorious as the first. There were those who used their conversational powers to talk of the inferiority of the building to the one built by Solomon, mingled with music and singing, with rejoicing and praise to God, was an inharmonious sound, not of joy or praise or thanksgiving, but of dissatisfaction. They saw enough to make them praise God. They saw that the Lord had visited them after He had scattered them for their ingratitude and disloyalty to His commandments. He had moved upon the heart of Cyrus to aid those who were appointed to rebuild his house, but those who were easily discouraged did not walk by faith. They entertained discouraging sentiments that were not a savor of life unto good works. Manuscript 116, 1897, chapter 7, verses 6 to 10. Ezra published copies of the law. Ezra was of the sons of Aaron, a priest, whom God chose to be an instrument of good unto Israel, that he might put honor upon the priesthood, the glory of which had been greatly eclipsed during the captivity. Ezra was a man of great piety and holy zeal. He was also a man of learning and a ready scribe in the law of Moses. These qualifications made him an eminent man. Ezra was impressed by the Spirit of God to search the historical and poetical books of the Bible, and by this means he became familiar with the sense and understanding of the law. During the captivity, the knowledge of God's will had to some extent been lost. Ezra gathered all the copies of the law that he could find. He published copies of these among God's people and became a teacher of the law and the prophecies in the schools of the prophets. The pure word thus diligently taught by Ezra gave knowledge that was invaluable at that time. Letter 100, 1907. God gives another opportunity and shows forbearance. The Lord raised up Ezra to be His servant. He moved upon the heart of the king so that Ezra found favor with him. The king placed in his hands abundant means for the rebuilding of the temple and made it possible for the Jews to return who for 70 years had been in captivity in Babylon. In thus giving to His people another opportunity to serve God in their own country, the Lord shows His forbearance with His wayward children. Letter 98, 1907. Verse 10. An example in knowledge and practice. Shall we let the example of Ezra teach us the use we should make of our knowledge of the Scriptures? The life of this servant of God should be an inspiration to us to serve the Lord with heart and mind and strength. We each have an appointed work to do, and this can be accomplished only by consecrated effort. We need first to set ourselves to know the requirements of God and then to practice them. Then we can sow seeds of truth that will bear fruit unto eternal life. Review and Herald, February 6, 1908. Chapter 8, verse 22. Ezra willing to run the risk. Ezra and his companions had determined to fear and obey God and to put their trust wholly in Him. They would not form a connection with the world in order to secure the help or friendship of the enemies of God. Whether they were with the many or the few, they knew that success could come from God only, and they had no desire that their success should be attributed to the wealth or influence of wicked men. Ezra would run the risk of trusting his cause with God. He well knew that if they failed in their important work, it would be because they had not complied with the requirements of God, and therefore he could not help them. The Scriptures furnish abundant evidence that it is safer to be joined to the Lord and lose the favor and friendship of the world than to look to the world for favor and support and forget our dependence upon God. It was because they were convinced of this truth that the Jews had refused to allow their adversaries to unite with them in the work of building the temple. They saw in the propositions of those idolaters a device of Satan to beguile God's people into union and fellowship with his enemies. Review and Herald, January 8, 1884, chapter 9, verse 6. a prayer of humiliation and contrition. Ezra had the true spirit of prayer, presenting his petition before God for Israel when they had sinned grievously in the face of great light and privileges. He exclaimed, "I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities have increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens." Ezra remembered the goodness of God in again giving the people a foothold in their native land, and he was overwhelmed with indignation and grief at the thought of the ingratitude in return for the divine favor. His language is that of true humiliation of soul, the contrition that prevails with God in prayer. Only the prayer of the humble enters into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Signs of the Times, February 19, 1885.